Acharya Shilari Das Thakur ki. Prem Tikhava Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adwaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gaur Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana ki jai. Vrindavan Dhamma ki jai. Mathura Dhamma ki jai. Navadvipa Mayapur Dhamma ki jai. Jagannath Puri Dhamma ki jai. Ganga Maya Jamuna Devi ki jai. Bhakti Devi ki jai. Tulsi Maharani ki jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gaur Premananda. Glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimanti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvasesa Sunyavadi Paskatya Deshatarane. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Guru and Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lavita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Panchakalpa Chubhischa Kipasana Vyavata Patitinam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Lam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 January 6, 2019 in Chennai, India. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 70, Lord Krishna's Daily Activities. We're going to read 34 through 37. So we have 34 on the board. Sabhajaitva vidhivat Kritasana parigraham Bhavase sunritair vakyai Shraya tarpanya munim. Sabhajaitva. Worshipping. Vidhivat. According to scriptural injunctions. Kripta. To him Narada who had done. Asana. Of a seat, parigraham, acceptance, babase, he Lord Krishna spoke, sunritai, truthful and pleasing, vakyai, with words, shradaya, with reverence, tarpanya, gratifying, muni, the sage. So again, Narada Muni has entered into Krishna's assembly, and Krishna has stood up and then bowed down, and Krishna felt very happy. Yes. So translation of this verse, after Narada had accepted the seat offered to him, Lord Krishna honored the sage according to scriptural injunctions, and gratifying him with his reverence, spoke the following truthful and pleasing words. Text 35. Apis vid adyalokanam trayanam akuto vayam nanu bhuyam bhagavato lokan pariyat tato guna. Lord Krishna said, it is certain that today the three worlds have attained freedom from all fear, for that is the influence of such a great personality as you, who travel at will throughout all the worlds. Text 36. Nahi te viditam kinchil lokesh vishvara kartrishu atta pricham mahe yushman pandavanam chichukshitam. Translation. There is nothing unknown to you within God's creation. Therefore, please tell us what the Pandavas intend to do. Text 37, Sri Narada Uvacha, Drista Mayate Bhagusha Jaratjaya, Maya Vibho Vishvastrajascha Mayina, Bhutesha Bhumas Charita Swa Shakti Vir, Vaner Iva Chana Rucho Na Me Dutam. Sri Narada said, I have seen many times the insurmountable power of your Maya, O Almighty One, by which you bewilder even the creator of the universe, Brahma. O all-encompassing Lord, it does not surprise me that you disguise yourself by your own energies while moving among the created beings as a fire covers its own light with smoke. Report. When Lord Krishna questioned Narada Muni about the intentions of the Pandavas, the sage replied that the Lord is himself all-powerful and all-knowing, even to the extent that he can bewilder the creator of the universe, Brahma. Narada understood that Lord Krishna desired to kill Jarasandha and was thus beginning to arrange for this pastime by inquiring from Narada about the Pandavas' intentions. Understanding the Lord's own intention, Narada was not astonished when Lord Krishna humbly requested information from him. So here we see the Lord acting in his Naralila, the Lord acting as if he were an ordinary person. At the same time, Narada is glorifying him as the Supreme Lord and not an ordinary person at all. So there is this combination of seeing the Lord as the Lord and at the same time relishing the sweetness of his human-like lila. So here we are in the 10th canto, quite advanced, in fact, into the 10th canto. And in the beginning of the Bhagavatam starts out with a glorification of Krishna as the Supreme Lord. Talk to the universal form. But also, even in the beginning, we hear about Krishna's incarnations, his different pastimes in Dwarka and with the Pandavas. So even in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, there's both things juxtaposed, that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and Krishna has these very sweet pastimes. Of course, in the spiritual world, in Goloka, the residents there are mostly focused that Krishna is simply a cowherd boy and their friend. They are not so much interested in Krishna's being the Supreme Lord. Even when Krishna comes to this planet, when Mother Yasoda sees the universal form inside of Krishna's mouth, she sees herself inside Krishna's mouth. Still, she doesn't really understand that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Isn't it? Right? She thinks, what is this bewildering thing? And Krishna just covers that and becomes again, oh, my little baby, she's thinking. Whereas when Arjuna sees the Virat Rupa, he forgets his friendly relationship with the Lord. He becomes very frightened. He begs forgiveness. Oh, my dear Lord, I have called you, O Yadava, O my friend. I have laid on the same bed. We have been joking together. Mother Yasoda does not do that. She doesn't say, oh, forgive me. For acting as your mother. So in Goloka, the residents are focused on the Lord's human-like pastimes. In Vaikuntha, they are focused on his godly pastimes. Yeah, when Gopakumar goes to Vaikuntha and he calls Lord Narayana Gopal, the residents of Vaikuntha, some of them become disturbed. Just like if you went to, you know, some big government official and you say, oh, hello, coward. You know, generally we think of a cowherd, like I walk in the morning and there are cows, and there's one man herding the cows. And generally we think of a cowherd as lower socially, isn't it? Not very socially elevated. In America we call such people a hick. Oh, they're a hick. That means not educated, some country person. Not a very sophisticated person. So in Vaikuntha they were very aghast. Oh, you are calling Lord Narayan Gopal. They said, yes, he goes to the earth planet and he plays like Gopal to kill Kamsa. But you should not speak like that here, they said. And other residents said, no, that's one of his incarnations. So you can call him by any of his names. So they had an argument, they had a debate in Vaikuntha. So please do not think that when you go to Vaikuntha, everybody is just... not like that. They're also having debates. There's also differences of opinion. So they had this debate, and the group that said you could call Lord Narayan Gopal, they won the debate. So then Gopal Kumar, he was calling Lord Narayan also Gopal. Of course, eventually he went to Goloka because he wanted to see Gopal as Gopal. So we are advised when we are coming to Krishna consciousness that we keep both. That is the advice. And therefore we see in the Bhagavatam, in the Bhagavad Gita, even in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the postgraduate study of love of God, that we are learning both the majesty, the grandeur, the omnipotence of God, and the sweetness of God. Both. So here, this particular pastime, these particular verses, are focused on both. Because here Narada is saying, you have insurmountable power. Insurmountable. To surmount is to climb. To go over. Mount, like a mountain. And he said, your power is insurmountable. Nobody can go over you. You are the top. You bewilder even Brahma. We already had the Leela where Brahma was bewildered. He took Krishna's friends and calves and he was bewildered. And earlier we had, he was bewildered by Vak also. So he can become bewildered. Huh? All-encompassing Lord, you are everywhere. And yet, what is he doing like a human? Do you remember what did he do that was human-like? Anybody remember with the verses we read a few minutes ago? Yes? Yes, he was worshipping Narada. Huh? He stood to respect Narada, yes, what else? Huh? He was living in family life, yes. What is he doing here? He gave him a seat. You please have a seat. What else did he do, like ordinary person? Probably. Because it said he was doing everything by the vidhi. That Krishna was following the vidhi. This is very interesting. What else did he do? He asked Narada a question.
He asked for other, though he can see everything on by himself, he still inquired from Narada.
He still inquired from Narada, and what did he inquire about? Pandavas. What are the Pandavas doing? So he stands up to receive him, he bows down, he's worshipping him by the Shastric injunctions, yes? And he's asking him, how are the Pandavas? And then he also said, the whole world is benefited by?
Yeah, you are going everywhere.
By you. He's saying to his devotee, the world is benefited by you. You know, when Narada Muni, when he cursed Nalakuvera and Manigriva, and then they became trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj for very, 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 very long, 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 long time. And during that time, they could remember they were demigods, so that must have been a big suffering. If you are in a tree and you are mostly sleeping, not so much suffering. But you are in a tree and you are conscious. Sometimes you may read that in surgical operations, sometimes the anesthesia doesn't work properly. You have read this? They do two things, the anesthesiologist. They do two things, they paralyze your muscles. They give you some drug so you cannot move. Of course, that is necessary, you know, if they are trying to cut and you move, be a big problem. So they make you paralyzed and they also make you unconscious. But sometimes the unconscious drug does not work. So you are paralyzed, but you are conscious. A very horrible thing. Because then you can feel what the doctors are doing, you can feel them cutting and... but you cannot speak, you cannot even move your eyes, you cannot indicate that you are conscious. happens sometimes. So this was like for Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. They could not move, they could not speak, but they were conscious. Hare Krishna. Do not offend the Vaishnavas. Very bad idea. Anyway, so then Krishna came, and Krishna pulled down the trees and he rescued them. And then he said to them, you are very fortunate that you saw Narada. He doesn't say, oh, you are so fortunate you are seeing me. We think like that, we who have big false ego. We think, oh, you are very fortunate you are seeing me. If somebody offends us, we think, you don't know who you are playing with. I am a big, big person. Huh? But Krishna is the biggest person, most important. And he is saying here, you are purifying. Tells Nala Kuvera Manigriva, you are fortunate you saw Narada. I always think it's very amusing. And Krishna feels this way, genuinely. It's not like he is just saying this. I may say this out of flattery because I want something from you. Actually, I am thinking I am the most important person. In my heart, I am thinking I am the center of the universe. But I may say to you, oh, you are so wonderful, but I'm not actually feeling like this. I am thinking if I say this to you, then you will like me, and if you like me, then you will do things for me. That is actually the reality. But Krishna feels like this. He genuinely feels that his devotees are more important than he is. Actually feels this way. We can see this a little bit in this world with the parent and the child. A little bit. The parent likes the child to be glorified more than themselves. Generally. Sometimes parents are also envious. But generally speaking, the mother, the father, they want to put the child above them. That makes them happier. Yeah? The guru likes the disciple to be glorified more than them. The teacher likes the student to be glorified more than them. In the parental rasa, we see this sometimes. So this is the human-like behavior of the Lord. So here Narada Muni is talking about some things that are very bewildering. That the first thing he says, that the omnipotent Lord, he knows everything and still he is asking questions. So why do you think the omnipotent Lord is asking questions? If he knows everything, yeah? Vidhi, so he's following Vidhi. Why do you think he's following Vidhi? Now that's another question. To be a role model. Yadyada Charishti Shretas. Krishna discusses this in the Bhagavad Gita. When Arjuna says, if I kill all these men in the battle, then the women will not have their husbands, and they will be unprotected, they will get engaged in some illicit relationship, and they'll be illegitimate children in the society. And that actually happens. After a war, there are many illegitimate children. And during a war also. War generally degrades the women. It's very common. And Krishna says, no, illegitimate children come when you don't do your duty. He said, the reason there are illegitimate children are that the men do not do their duty, the women do not do their duty. And we're seeing that in modern society, the men are, and the women both, they're very irresponsible. But particularly the men, because usually when there's a baby, the husband, easier for the man to go away, yeah? Harder for the woman to go away. So the men, they get some woman pregnant and they leave. It's becoming common, isn't it? Yes? Is this increasing in India also? Yes. And Krishna says, if you want there to be proper children, you have to set an example of doing your duty. So therefore you should fight, because fighting is your duty, and you will set a good example. And then Krishna said, I am also doing my duty. He said, I have nothing to do. I have nothing to accomplish. I already have everything. But still I am doing my duty. And Krishna says, if I did not do my duty, there would be unwanted children. Very interesting. So Krishna is following this vidhi because otherwise there becomes chaos in society. In so many ways. People will do the wrong occupation. If you have a Kshatriya trying to act as a Shudra, it's havoc. If you have a Shudra trying to act as a Brahmin, it's havoc. It creates so many problems. So people will be in the wrong Varna. People will not get properly married. They will not properly take care of their children. They will not properly take care of their elders. So many things. They will not take care of the earth. They will not take care of the cows. So Krishna doesn't have to follow any vidhi. Does Krishna have to follow any vidhi? No. In Vrindavan, does he always follow the vidhi?
No.
He's a very naughty boy. In Vrindavan, Krishna does not always follow the vidhi. We see, practically. Right? He goes to his father, he says, why are you worshipping this Indra? Indra can't do anything, he's pouring water on the ocean. I'm not offending you, don't be angry. But Krishna says like this, he says, Indra's pouring water on the ocean even. He doesn't discriminate, he's just pouring water everywhere. Just do it, just worship this mountain. Worship this mountain, he says. And Narada Muni, Narada Maharaj says, we'll do later. No, now, you know, like he's a little boy, you know. Now! And Narada says, okay. So that is not the vidhi. Right? And he was stealing also. Mother Yasoda would get, why are you stealing? How will you become a gentleman? You should not be stealing. For Krishna is no stealing. Everything belongs to him. Everything is him. Mayatitamidam sarvam jagadavyaktamurtina matstani sarvabhutani nachaham te subhasita. Everything is him. Everything is his energies. Bhumiralapanalo vayukamano buddharevacha. It's all Krishna. How can he steal butter? It's his butter. And what to speak of him dancing with the gopis? Or stealing the gopis' clothes. And the gopis are saying, we will report you to the king. The acharya is saying, maybe that is Kamsa, maybe that is Nanda. And Krishna says, I don't care. My father's old man. He will not do anything. I can do whatever I like. So that is not vidhi. That should not be done. So Krishna doesn't have to follow this vidhi. In fact, whatever Krishna does is perfect. Everything Krishna does is perfectly moral, perfectly ethical. It's not possible for Krishna to do something unethical. It doesn't make any sense. Satya Param. He is the absolute truth. Therefore, everything he does is truth. At the same time, here we see in Dwaraka, he is perfectly following the vidhi. You do not find in Dwaraka that he acts externally in ways outside the vidhi. And therefore, some devotees, they prefer to go to Dwaraka or Vaikuntha. They are more comfortable. Or they like Ramachandra. Dharma. Yes. So some devotees, therefore there's different forms of the Lord for each taste. If you want to see the personification of Dharma, that he takes ek patni vrat, even after Sita leaves, still he doesn't marry again. Right? Generally, even someone who only has one wife, if the wife dies, he can remarry. But even Sita goes into the earth, he does not marry again. He takes a golden statue. So fixed in dharma. Stepmother says, you go to the forest in exile? Oh, yes, mother. So people who want like that, perfect according to the vidhi, they worship Ramchandra. And those who want the madhurya, they worship Krishna. But Krishna has different forms, and you can worship Krishna in Dwaraka, or Krishna in Mathura. And every devotee has their own taste. Huh? But here Krishna is showing to follow the vidhi. Even your God you should follow. Because otherwise somebody will say, oh, I am very exalted devotee. I don't have to follow anything. I don't have to follow any rules. But Krishna doesn't like that. If the devotees become proud like that, and they act in violation of the rules, Krishna doesn't like. Of course, the great saintly persons actually, they don't need to follow the rules. That is a fact. But Krishna doesn't appreciate. Because then people criticize his devotees, and also then ordinary people become confused. And they think the way to become elevated is to break the rules. They don't understand that breaking the rules is a symptom of being elevated. Just like in ordinary language, when you are a child, you learn the rules of grammar, yeah? Now, when you are expert poet, you do not need to follow the rules of grammar, isn't it? If you really know what you're doing as a poet, you can break the grammatical rules. But if you are an 8-year-old child, you cannot do that. It will be a disturbance. And if someone says, oh, the way to become a poet is to break the rules, they will never become a poet. By following the rules, following the rules, following the rules, following the rules, you become a poet, and then you understand how you can break and how you cannot break. Or cooking. At first you have to follow the book. You cannot just make something up. Like I knew one devotee who thought, oh, I am a devotee, I can cook anything. So she put avocados into halva. Nobody could eat. But after you are expert cook, you not need to follow, you know. This spice goes with this and this vegetable goes, isn't it? You understood the principles of cooking. And someone will say, oh, but this is not in the book. Oh, but I understand. So other thing Narada was astonished about was particularly Krishna asking about the Pandavas. Narada's going everywhere. Krishna could have asked about anything or anyone. So why did he ask about the Pandavas? Narada could understand that right before Narada came in, what was happening? Just before Narada walks in, what was happening? There was discussion about Jarasandar from the... Who was discussing? The Duta, the messenger from the kings, was asking Krishna to kill Jarasandar. And then Narada comes in. And Narada could understand that Krishna's asking about the Pandavas because there is some connection between the Pandavas and the request of the kings. Now this is interesting because not everybody in the assembly could understand what is the connection. Because Narada is going to say, Maharaj Yudhisthira wants to do Rajasuya Yajna. And so the people in the assembly will become confused. They will say, wait a minute, you said you would rescue the kings, now you're invited to the Rajasuya, how will we do this? And Krishna, one of his qualities is clever, he found a way to do both. In fact, they were very connected. They were very related to each other. And just by this question of the Lord, Narada can understand this. So it appears on the one hand that Krishna is asking a question because he does not know. And it seems to be a random question. He could have asked so many things. Narada is going everywhere, you can ask him anything. But Narada could understand this was not a random question. Many times in our life, it seems that Krishna puts us in a situation that doesn't make sense to us. We are thinking, I am going this way, and you are doing something over here. How is that? But we find that if we are submissive to Guru and Krishna, that we see that everything comes together. Yes, you had this experience? You know, we're trying to go over here, and Krishna takes us over here. But actually going here was the best way to get over there. We could not understand it. But Narada could understand it. Narada has this Trikalaja. So for him, it was very playful. Narada is holding both this, Krishna is God, and Krishna is doing this human-like pastimes at the same time. So on the one hand, he's like, oh, he is God, but he's asking a question. And on the other hand, he's thinking, oh, he's asking a very clever question, because this question will solve all these problems at the same time. Krishna also likes very much when he can communicate in some hidden way. We find throughout the works of the Acharyas, Krishna is speaking to his devotees in some hidden way. And in fact, as this pastime unfolds, the killing of Jarasandhar will be done in such a hidden instruction. Yes, you are familiar? So Bhima says, Nashaktoham Jarasandham, Nirjetam Yudhimalava, I cannot kill Jarasandha in battle. And what does Krishna do? He looks at him and he does this. You're trying to kill somebody in a battle, right? And you go to Krishna and you say, my dear Lord Krishna, I do not have the potency to kill this Jarasandha in battle. And then Krishna looks at you and does this. Does this happen in our life also? We go to the Lord and we say, I have this problem. And this was in his service. This was in Bhima's service. I have this problem. And Krishna gives this very strange answer. We're like, what?
It's a small issue.
What is this? This happens in the 11th canto also with Uddhava. So Uddhava asked the Lord, you've told me so many different kinds of yoga, so many different kinds of processes, what should I do? And Krishna says, the Supreme Lord enters through the nadi and becomes the sound of the Vedas. How is that an answer? There's so many processes, what should I do? The Supreme Lord becomes the sound of the Vedas. He is manifested in sound. And just like the next verse, Krishna says, just like when you are rubbing wood to make a fire. You are rubbing wood to make a fire, there's a spark, and then you pour ghee and the fire ignites. That's his answer. What should I do, my Lord? The Lord is the sound of the Vedas, and when you rub wood, there's a spark, you pour ghee and you make a fire. So Krishna likes to give instructions. Sometimes he gives very straight instructions. Arjuna, stand up, fight. That is unambiguous. There's no wiggle room. What does that mean? You stand up and you fight. But other times Krishna gives another way of instruction. We do this also with our close friends, isn't it? Yes? Sometimes we are very direct, and sometimes we are little. And Krishna sometimes speaks without words. He speaks just with eyebrows. Or just eyes. Sometimes we do this also with our friends, yeah? Right? Close friend, you want me. And if they understand, very pleasing, isn't it? When you do like that, you just go. And then they understand, and you feel this connection. When I was 12 years old, I was in this school, I was often bored. I used to find school very boring. That's why I became a teacher. I wanted to make schools that were not boring. Anyways, I was very bored. So I developed some sign language. I developed three different sign languages, one for the whole class and one with one friend and one with another friend. And the teacher is teaching and we're going, and we are talking. It was so much fun. So Krishna's instructions are like this. Narada Muni is picking this up. How Krishna is acting as this Naralila according to the Vidhi, but also he's acting as God. But in this clever way where he's going to tie together all these different things. And then he says, you are acting as the controller. You are controlling even Lord Brahma. So if Krishna wants to kill Jarasandhar, he just has to say, kill Jarasandhar. Jarasandhar would die immediately. He doesn't need to have this drama. You understand? This drama is not necessary for him at all. Just by his willing, immediately. We see so many people walking in the world, they have heart attack, they just die. Isn't it? Nothing else required. Some problem, or they get hit by car or something, they just die. So many ways Jarasandhar could have been killed. But there's this whole drama that unfolds. And if you think about it, so the messenger comes and Krishna tells the messenger, yes, I will kill Jarasandha. Then Narada comes. Then they discuss what they're going to do. Then they go to Indraprastha. So that means bringing 16,108 queens, and each of them has 10 children, or more, at least 10. Some of them have 12, 15, because they have daughters also. And then they have all their servants. What was it? 34 million teachers, I think. And then all the people to do the laundry, and all the people to do the cooking, and all the people to take care of the horses and the oxen and the carts and to carry the palanquins of the queen. And then they had to have all these engineers to go in front of them and make the roads, make sure there were bridges and to have the camping places because they had to stop on the way. So many people, can imagine. So how long do you think it took them to get to Indraprastha? This was not 15 minutes packing. Like for me, I travel around the world one little suitcase. For me to pack it takes me 10 minutes. But if you are going to bring millions and millions and millions of people, practically you're bringing a whole city. You are not going to pack in 10 minutes. And traveling is not going to be fast. So it must have taken a few months to get to Indraprastha. Then in Indraprastha, Maharaj Yudhisthira sent his brothers in the different directions. And they went out for many months. They were going with the challenge horse, will you do the Rajasuya? And then they came back. And one of the brothers said, everybody has surrendered this way but Jarasandha. All the others said, everyone has surrendered, only Jarasandha has not. Then they traveled to see Jarasandha. Then being fought with Jarasandha for 1 month. So it must have been from the time that Krishna told the messenger, I am coming, to the time Jarasandha was killed. Must have been at least 1 year. Had to be a very long time. It wasn't like instantly. And there was all this drama. And then Bhima's fighting, you know, they go in disguise. And then Bhima's fighting every day and every night they are friends. So Narada is thinking, you are omnipotent. You could just immediately kill Jarasandha. But you are doing this whole lila like a human being. And this is bewildering. Again, we should remember that. We go to the Lord, I have some problem. Please solve my problem. But even if he says yes, that doesn't mean 2 seconds it is solved. There may be a whole drama. And you just imagine these kings, they're in this prison, they have heard that Krishna is going to come. But they are waiting. Must be difficult for them to send that messenger, I'm thinking. I'm sure Jarasandha did not want them to send this messenger. That must have been a very difficult thing for them. And to get messages back and forth would also be very difficult, to find out what is Krishna doing, what is Krishna doing. So what is going to happen in that year to these kings? What is going to happen to their consciousness? What do you think? So you are in prison, you are very skinny, Jarasandha is going to sacrifice you, Krishna has said he's coming, very difficult to get messages, every day he's not coming. What will happen to your consciousness? You'll become fully Krishna conscious. Because first they were not. They were writing to Krishna, you are responsible for this, you are a bad god. What's wrong with you, yadayadahi dharmasya? Why are you not taking care? They were right saying like this, yes? But by the time Krishna came, they will be fully surrendered. Isn't it? Even Rukmini, she sent the Brahman messenger and Krishna did not come immediately and she became completely, where is Krishna? Krishna does this even to the gopis, even to Radharani, he's doing this. He leaves the Ras Lila and he's just gone. He's just gone. You think about this. These were the Munichari gopis, the Rishichari gopis. They had waited for millions and millions of years for Krishna to appear. Imagine doing sadhana for millions of years, waiting for Krishna. And then finally Krishna plays his flute. And they come. And then he says, go home. Imagine that. You've been waiting for millions and millions and millions and millions of years to dance with Krishna. He says, come dance with me. You come. I am ready. Go home. What are you doing here? Go back to your house. And they're like, we're not going anywhere. So then they're walking and they're laughing and they think, oh, soon we are going to dance. And then they look and he's gone. He's just gone. And they go almost crazy, actually. And when he comes back, why did you do this? Just to make the love more and more and more and more and more and more and more stronger. We all want this. We all want a love that gets more and more and more and more strong, isn't it? When people get married, they are thinking, we are getting married now, we are 20, 25, whatever, now people are marrying at 35, anyway. So they are thinking, we are getting married now, and as we stay married, the love will get stronger and stronger. They are thinking like that, yes? They are thinking, when we are 80 years old, we will come to the Krishna temple for our 60th wedding anniversary, like you have on the sign that you celebrate, 60th and 80th wedding anniversary. They are thinking, we will celebrate our 80th wedding anniversary when we are 105. And we will be even more in love in our wheelchairs, right? I still love you, and I love you even more, sweetie pie. And they are thinking like that. Maybe we will be dancing together when we are 80. Usually in this world, it does not happen like that. I'm very sorry to tell you. Generally, it doesn't happen. Generally, the intensity decreases. Isn't it? Right? You were telling me. Generally, the intensity decreases. But that's not what we want. We want a relationship where the love gets stronger and stronger and deeper and deeper and deeper. Everybody wants that. Nobody says on the wedding day, I love you today, but don't worry, when we are 50, I will not love you very much anymore. And nobody says like this. So Krishna engineers these things so the devotee's love increases, increases, increases. His love for them increases, their love for him increases. And it gets sweeter and thicker and sweeter and thicker eternally. So this is going on simultaneously. Krishna is God, the Supreme Lord, and he's following the Vidhi. And he's all powerful, and he's engineering everything. And he's engineering what's happening with the kings and the Pandavas, and pulling all this together. And the Supreme, Omnipotent, all-powerful controller. And at the same time, under that, is this sweetness. How he's dealing with the kings, how he's dealing with Narada, how he's dealing, we're going to see, with Uddhava. There is this sweetness. So it is very important for us to understand that Krishna is God. Very, very important. The human-like stories of Krishna are not just some stories of some mundane hero. We must understand that Krishna is God. But still, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants us to enter into the sweetness also. He wants us to appreciate Krishna's sweetness. Like we are about to bathe Jagannath and he becomes sick. God becomes sick. How is this? So both of these things are going on simultaneously. And we should see that we are developing in both ways. Of course, eventually, if we follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, and we want to enter into Vrindavan, we will also forget that Krishna is God. But even at that point, as long as we are in this world, we still have to present the glories of the Lord as all powerful. So we should be seeing ourselves, how we are advancing every day in these two relationships. So I brought this. Anybody have a question, comment, addition, subtraction, chastisement? Yes, Prabhu.
Mataji, what I feel that, you know, Krishna's inquiring from Narada, there are two causes of it. One is external cause, and other is internal cause.
Okay.
External cause likely is for the Vidhi. Second cause is this internal, because this Pandavas is the pure devotee of the Lord. So he likes to hear about the glorification of this pure devotee.
Oh, that is beautiful.
What I feel is my realization.
That is very beautiful. Thank you. That is another aspect of that hidden sweetness. Thank you for saying that. It was very wonderful. Actually, Krishna loves to hear about his devotees. Do you know what, my dear friends, he likes to hear even about us? You try to find someone in this world who wants to hear about you. Be very difficult. Maybe your mommy. Very difficult to find someone who really wants to hear about you. You can find even some near relative, some good friend, and if you start talking about yourself, you just watch. When do they become bored and distracted? You can observe. Try this today. Go to someone who loves you and just talk about yourself. And you'll see, short time, right? 5-10 minutes maybe. They will become bored and distracted. But Krishna, right? Riddheshya Junitist, he says he's in the heart of everyone. Krishna is hearing everything that we think and watching everything that we do because he is interested. And you can be sure that the deities are also very interested in all of our individual stories. They are enjoying hearing even about us. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would cry about Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj. But all of our stories, they like to hear. One of my godbrothers said, not only do the devotees become attached to the deity becomes attached to the pujari. So Krishna likes to hear about the Pandavas, but don't think, oh, that's the Pandavas, they are pure devotees. He also likes to hear about us. He genuinely cares. He's genuinely excited and enlivened by even our little progress. If today maybe one mantra we said with attention and love, he is very excited. Thank you. Thank you very much. Anybody else? A question, comment? Yes, this Prabhu over here. Thank you for adding that. I always like it if someone adds something that I did not think of. That is very enlivening for me.
Thank you, Madam, for the wonderful class.
Hare Krishna.
Like you were saying about me going through difficult situations. So, this thing had been in my mind for a long time. If a devotee is going through a difficult situation, what actually should be his consciousness? Devotees say that this is Krishna's plan for you. And if I think like that, then I also think that I'm a devotee. Therefore, you know, Krishna's... So I was wondering whether we should think like that or should we think, you know, it's like my karmic reactions which is coming to me.
Well, Lord Brahma says, Tatyanu Kampam Sukshamakshamanam, that the devotee thinks that I am getting the results of my karma. That I am getting something that I deserve. But also the devotee wants to see the personal hand of God. Not that we should think I'm a devotee in the sense of pride. But we should also think that the Lord cares about me. I mean, if you said to your mother and father, are your parents alive? Are they still with you? Mother. So if you go to your mother and you say, our relationship is just official. You actually don't love me. I can tell you, she would not be happy. Unless you have a very bad mother. You have a good mother, yeah? It's good. Good mother, good father, they want the children to know that they love them. It's not just official. Krishna is very, very, very pleased when we recognize his hand in our life. Even if you can think it's karma, but Krishna is manipulating that karma. He is playing with it. Yeah. And if you don't have to think you're a devotee. You can think you're a devotee of a devotee of a devotee of a devotee. That'll work. Because you were a servant of a servant of a servant. So you are also in Krishna's household. Not because I'm qualified, but because Krishna is kind. Problem with thinking I'm a devotee is we start thinking I'm qualified. I cannot do something. There's nothing I can do to be a devotee, actually. But Krishna is very kind. Patram Pushpam Pulam Twayam. Sudama just gave a little bit of cheap rice. Prabhupada said, if you offer a flower and in the flower there's a little ant, and you put the flower, the pujaris don't like this quote, you put the flower at the feet of the Lord and the ant comes out of the flower and it's kissing the Lord's feet, he says the ant is as good as the pujari. So don't tell this to them, you don't tell the pujaris. So like that, you know, therefore Bhakti Vinod says, Kita Janmoy, I'll be happy to be a little bug with a devotee. So we can think like that. I'm not a devotee, but I'm a little bug on the flower. Somehow my Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, they're offering this flower to the deities, and I am the little bug. They forgot to wash the flower, little bug hiding. And so Krishna is accepting. And he's loving and he's taking care of him. We call a godless mentality secular. Yeah? You've heard the word secular? So the literal meaning of secular is you do not see things in relation to God. You do not see your own life story. You do not see the story of the people in general in relation to God. You explain everything separate from Krishna. So the whole idea of Krishna consciousness is that I see everything in relation to Krishna. Everything. My breathing, the light, the wind, my digestion. Yeah? Everything in relation to God. Always. And Krishna is the heat and fire. He is the light in all luminous objects. He joins with the air of life. He's digesting the food stuff. He is my ability. He is my intelligence. He is the life of all that lives. And then you're going to cut him out of your life? Oh, it's just my karma. Well, that is not very good. We don't want any portion of our life separate from Krishna. Is that okay? Okay, so it's after 9, so we should, I think, end here. And we have, what time is this Jnanyatra starting? 10 o'clock. So today we are going to be very bad devotees and we're going to make Jagannath sick. So today we are going to give bath to Jagannath Balaram Subhadra. They are going to have their combination again, magnificent pastimes on the Rath Yatra and their human-like pastimes, becoming sick, having to get repainted, although Navayovanam Cha is always useful, but we have this Navayovanam ceremony also. And actually this Rath Yatra, it's this grandiose God going to bless the devotees, but it is also Krishna going back to Vrindavan. So we have again these two sweeps. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.